There has to be something that has been located within the writings, emails, of this 15-year-old that would give investigators insight into why this crime took place. Because the straight up murders are the crime that took place. The reason, the ideology, or the purpose that this person used that force or violence is the important part for bringing the charge of terrorism on the state code. There is no penalty in federal court for terrorism under domestic terrorism definition, but clearly in Michigan, the state legislature has found it to be important enough to actually have a penalty phase attached to their definition of domestic terrorism.
So what is it that needs to happen in order to generate a charge of terrorism?
Well, I mean, you have to have a serious violent action. So clearly, this the murder of four students, the shooting of seven others, including six students and one teacher, is no question the violent criminal action, felonious homicide. But the part getting to making it a act of domestic terrorism would be to determine what that person's ideology, what made that person go to that point. Was it done to intimidate or coerce that civilian population because of this belief? Or was it done to influence the policy of a government because this person believed that the government was doing something wrong, or wanted to influence them in changing something, instead of standing and using a sign to protest to promote change? A terrorist takes that belief and goes to the point of using force and violence to make that change, and that's what makes it terrorism, and specifically domestic terrorism. And again, the charge that has been brought against this 15-year-old in Michigan, the definition mirrors that of the federal charge, except in Michigan, the legislature has actually given some teeth to that charge by giving penalties. In federal definition is the same, except there is no penalty. You can't be charged with domestic terrorism in the United States because there's no penalty.
This is a situation where, it is what it is, what we've seen and what we've heard from them. Apparently, there was a police officer in this school at the time, and I'm assuming that this was a school resource officer. What, based on what you've learned or what you know about the situation, what do you draw from the fact that this police officer was there in relationship to what eventually happened?
Well, school resource officers are very important, and it's not just that they're there, they have a gun, and they're there to protect, but they're also there to be part of that school community. So much like community policing and policing in a urban environment or rural environment, police should be part of the community, and school resource officers actually become part of that community. They build a trust with the students. And if there is something that is, making people feel uncomfortable about a certain student, they may well go to that school resource officer. And then if there is, then there is a system in place. And it appears from all reporting that this school in Michigan was ahead of the game on training for potential for active shooter events, training teachers and students how to react, and they did. And the reporting is that the shooter did this damage, this horrendous act, all in around 2 minutes before law enforcement was able to intervene in some way. And they actually got this person with a loaded firearm with seven rounds still in the magazine and one chambered. So potentially eight additional rounds, which could have been fired towards individuals inside that school. So the school officer is part of that school community. And when there is a potential threat, they convene a group of teachers, administrators, the school resource officers, and try and dig into what is the potential threat. How can we intervene? How can we get in front of any potential violence? So school resource officers are an integral part of being a safe school system. And it is really for the betterment of students, not only the students that are potential victims, but for that potential actor to try and get in front of this before it takes place.
What's the message here? With the terrorism charge and with the amount of carnage that was done before the officer, police were able to stop this. So what's the message here for people in not just that school, but other schools and across the country?
Well, I think the important thing, this is a horrendous act, and the loss of life is, you really feel for the families, the students, the law enforcement officers, the officers that are working the crime scene. I have worked numerous active shooting crime scenes in my career. And the one thing that hits me every time I see one of these things is the amount of time it takes for that amount of carnage to take place is a very short period of time. So trying to get in front of the violence is the most important thing. And sadly, when it does take place, it doesn't take a lot of time for a lot of bad things to happen. I can go through the list of active shooter incidents where numbers of people have been killed, and that shooter was neutralized in some way, either arrested or suicide or taken out by police before they can continue their violent actions. And the number of people that are killed in a very short period of time is always very sad. So it really is important for the schools to work together with law enforcement to report potential suspicious activity, for parents to talk to the schools and the school resource officers to try and, see something, say something. If there's a kid that's acting out or a coworker or whoever, people need to speak about it, because unfortunately in this day and age with the social media and the rapid ability to radicalize someone to the point of using violence, time is of the essence to get in front of this stuff. And that's the important thing, is to try and prevent acts like this horrendous shooting in Michigan.
Tom O'Connor, retired FBI special agent, currently principal at Fed Square Consulting. JJ Green, WTOP News.